Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Oh, yeah. You know, we are in such a time. We are in a time and a season right now where prophetically things are being fulfilled. And things are being fulfilled prophetically, and God is moving prophetically. In other words, things that are moved by His Spirit, things that are spoken, change the course. That's why God has prophets. He has prophets of the nations. He has prophets. There are all kinds of areas where He speaks through His servants and His apostles and so forth. And they're speaking, and they're speaking by the Spirit, and they're speaking in the arena because there is a shift in the course that is being taken place. Sometimes the course is set to avoid a trap that the enemy is trying to set up, and because God is not going after that one. But the course would be sending something else up to where we're going after a trap to destroy it, or a stronghold, or a strong tower that the enemy might have set up. So sometimes there's a different arena of battle. And of course, all battle has to do with worship, and it's important that we worship and stay filled with the Spirit of God. And in this, these battlegrounds, battlefields of locations and their spiritual arenas that we attack in multiple places. And, you know, in this, we must be armed and ready, and no matter what it is. One thing that Jesus always did is He prepared Himself before He went out. He went and prayed. He took time, got filled, dressed. He prepared Himself. Amen? And in this, then He went out to battle. One of the things that He went out to battle doing is declaring the gospel. He decreed truth. And many of the religious sect, many of the people with not understanding would attack Him. But His purpose was to rescue and set those who've been taken by deception, taken by darkness, to set them free. And in Galatians chapter 6, if you'll turn there, and there's something that when He would go out, He would always take His disciples with Him because they were being trained up, because He knew that He would have to go home and intercede to release more power to His disciples because He was no longer on the earth. See, Jesus could have wiped out the whole place by Himself. He really didn't need anybody. He could have moved the sun over here, moved the moon over here. He could have moved the stars away. He could have lifted the earth, and so He could have turned it and spun it real fast, and everybody flew off. You know, He could have done anything He wanted to do. But He wanted to fulfill what He had spoken. See, there was words that He predestined for this realm that He was going to fulfill so He would never come against His own word. So we may ask, well, why didn't He do this? Because He wouldn't come against His own word. In fact, when He created the earth, He gave it over to His children. And so in this, He left me and you and left His Spirit and His sword and His word and everything to battle and to take dominion. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, if you'll read it with me, Galatians 6 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Do not be what? Deceived. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You cannot mock God. You may mock God now, but I'm telling you, it's coming. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap what? Corruption. He's going to reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. So let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So we see here there's something that's happening, because there are those who have been taken captive that are sowing to the flesh. and they're reaping corruption. Every one of us is sold to the flesh and began to reap corruption, because what you reap is what you sow is what you reap. So there's that place where now we have to outrun some of the reaping due to us. So the more you sow in the spirit, the more you outrun your reaping. Has everybody got it? That's why we emphasize about speaking the word of God, speaking those prayers, because everything you speak according to the word of God and the will of God is sowing in the spirit. That's why we want people to praise and worship. Why? The enemy doesn't want you to praise and worship. Why? Because he knows this is a spiritual law. It is a spiritual law. What you sow is what you reap. You sow in the spirit, which means breath also, you're going to reap life. That means you're going to start emptying out your piggy bank of corruption. And you're going to start filling your anointed bank with life. Amen? Everybody hear me? So who doesn't want you to worship? Who doesn't want you to speak the word? Amen. So the greatest thing he created was religion, wasn't it? Because people go to church and don't do nothing. Oh, yeah, okay. You know, do whatever. And they listen to a couple things. They do certain rituals and they leave. But they don't leave different. They leave the same. Every time we gather together, you should leave different. There should be something that's imparted in you. You should never leave empty-handed. If you've left empty-handed, it's because you didn't receive anything. You know, when we do deliverance with people, you know, there are people you can only go so far with because there are certain things they don't want to agree with. And then you can't, that spirit won't leave them. And what you speak is what you eat. If you enjoy sin and don't want to get rid of it, you won't. So there's that place where you and I have got to come to an understanding of that we want a new life and we're willing to do whatever it takes, because we understand that we are on a mission from God and we want to fulfill that mission. See, there's so many people that have been taken captive. We were taken captive at one time. And somebody came across our life and shared truth with us and then brought us to a place where truth can be imparted, where we could get a sword, Holy Ghost bazooka, machine gun man, with the word of God, and start severing and cutting and getting free. See, you didn't get rescued just so that you can get a new life. There's more to it than that. You got rescued so you can get more lives. Hello. Say, I'm a freedom fighter. See, this is what we're going to talk about today, because we are soldiers and we are freedom fighters. What are we fighting for? Somebody else's freedom. That's what we're fighting for. We're fighting for somebody else's freedom. Why? Because we've got to begin to share with them the truth. You know, we talked about the spirit of homosexual. You know, most people don't even understand it. It's a spirit. And these people are thinking that it's just them. Or whether they're gay or lesbian or whatever it may be. Or addicts or liars and thieves and whatever. Pornography. All of these things that bound, put a person in captivity. When a person is in captivity, their soul is in captivity. And somebody has to come there with the key. Without a key, there's no release. But there are people that don't want to come out because they enjoy it. And they will stay in there until they die. And that's between them and God. But I can tell you that we are freedom fighters. And we have a mission to fulfill. And the enemy doesn't quit, you know. He comes after you more. Why? Because Jesus took the keys of Satan, and he's given us the keys. So he wants to steal the keys back from you. Many people turn their keys over. You heard the story of Esau. What did he do? He sold his birthright, right? For food. Many people sell their birthright for flesh fulfillment. Think of how many times that we've sold our birthright when we were in the world. In Galatians chapter 5, so those who sow to the flesh reap corruption. And I want to go over the flesh again. In verse 19, it says what? Now the works of the flesh are what? Evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorceries, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Anything like that that's fulfilling the flesh. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They are lost, living outside of salvation's truth. L-O-S-T. Living outside of salvation's truth. They're lost. They've been taken captive. They are blinded. They're in darkness. They can't see. That's why God raises up freedom fighters. So you and I are not raised up just to fulfill family life. We're to fulfill His life. See, when you get to a point where you're wanting to fulfill your life and your family life, you've lost life. Why? Because you gave your life. Now, if you fight for your life, you'll lose it, right? Why? Because we're to fight for somebody else's. Has everybody got this? So many times we're fighting for our life instead of somebody else's. Oh, hallelujah. So we see that anyone caught up, taken captive in the works of the flesh doesn't make it into heaven if they die in that condition. Amen? It's amazing right now because everything that we see in this country and globally and all the stuff that's going on, I mean, think about it. The Bible tells us that the things that are good will be called bad, and the things that are bad will be called good. It's amazing that they want to save the trees but kill children. Think about it. They want to save the trees, but they're willing to kill children. Something ain't right. Something's not right. So I want you to understand that if we don't go, who will? We must be ready in season and out. There are too many that are dying even right now that thought they were a believer and ended up in hell right now. Right now, there are people dying and going to hell, never to be restored, never to have the opportunity of God's presence again. Gone. So we must be ready. We must be willing to go through Holy Ghost boot camp, officers training school. We must be willing to do whatever it takes. We must be willing to deny ourselves, pick up the cross and follow. Why? Because there's too many out there that are deceived, they're taken captive. God sent them into the world. I don't care what they've done. I don't care if they're a murderer. I don't care what they've done. It doesn't matter what they've done because it was in them that did it and they cooperated with it. Listen, there were things that I did that I didn't like what I did when I found out I didn't have to do them. I didn't want to do them, but I couldn't stop. When I was an addict, I couldn't stop. Nobody ever told me what the truth was. Nobody ever told me that I could battle and fight. Nobody told me that I had the power of Christ Jesus to overcome. Nobody ever told me that I can get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak into a language directly to my Father. Nobody ever told me those things. 39 years I suffered on this planet until I was finally rescued. And I was rescued because of a prayer. Somebody was praying for me. Somebody was praying for me, and finally somebody came across my path that I was willing to listen to, because my only way out was death. Some of us had to reach that arena and some don't have to. That's why the Lord says that those who are very wealthy, it's hard for them to get rescued because their God is their wealth. See, they don't need anything, but they don't realize that they're miserable and the only thing they're trying to do is protect their money. They live to protect their money and then pass it on. Well, we don't live for money, we live for Him. Amen? That's why we are called freedom fighters. Many won't understand you. They won't understand your language. They won't understand your way of life. They won't understand you. But I'm telling you that you're living according to kingdom living, an eternal realm, the eternal way, not a temporary. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Man, I heard the Lord tell me today, they save the trees, but they kill my children. And I was wanted to die. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are what?
Perishing,
dying, decaying, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them so that they can awaken, become alive. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Christ's sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus the Christ. So the world is blinded. People are taken captive. They're blinded. Look, you can be a believer and go be taken captive again. Go to chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, but their minds were what?
Blinded.
For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, So if you're out there and you're doing those things that we talked about, the works of the flesh, and you're headed on the way to hell, the only way for those scales to come off of your eyes and off of your heart is when you begin to turn to the Lord. And he's going to tell you who the Lord is. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the what? Spirit. What's he talking about? He's talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, many people have come to Christ, but they have no power. And they try and do it in their own strength, and actually what they're trying to do is walk. They're still walking in the flesh. So they're still sowing in the flesh. Are you listening? They're sowing in the flesh. They're reaping corruption, and I wonder why they can't get any further. See, once you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, the scales come off, and you are empowered now to walk in the Spirit. But the enemy wants to draw you out of the Spirit and back into the flesh when you rely on your own strength, your intellect. Let me tell you, your intellect is dangerous, but his intellect is eternal. That's why we must cooperate with the mind of Christ. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom, liberty. That's why we are freedom fighters. How can we be freedom fighters if we're not filled with the Spirit? How can we be freedom fighters if we're not willing to cast out a devil, lay hands on the sick, decree, prophesy, use the gifts of the Spirit? How can we be freedom fighters if we're not free ourselves? Because you can't give what you don't have. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, I want to reemphasize the arena of those that are walking in the flesh. It doesn't, look at, these people are not bad. They're deceived. When you and I were out there doing stupid things, we were told we were bad. But yet there was a cry in us that wanted to do the right thing. There was that cry somewhere deep within us that said, help, I really want to do the right thing, but since I'm bad, I might as well be bad. But still there was that little flame in us all the time that says, you know, you're not doing the right thing, man. But you know, so we always thought that we were bad. You're not bad. You're deceived. See, there's a difference, isn't there? We were deceived. We're not bad, deceived. And there are many out there who are deceived, living in same-sex marriages, living in sin, living in the flesh. And they're waiting for a freedom fighter to come around and tell them the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1, would you read it with me? You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to what? Faithful men and women. Faithful, consistent, disciplined. Faithful, consistent, disciplined. Who will be able to teach others also. Why? Because they're free and they can decree freely. Has everybody got it? Because you can't give what you don't have. You therefore must what? Endure. Hardship as a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, freedom fighter. Where you see soldier, you're a freedom fighter. What are you doing? You're fighting for somebody else's freedom. Why? Because you fought for yours. You're free. And now you're maintaining your freedom. And by maintaining your freedom, you're fighting for someone else's freedom. Verse 4 says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Oh my goodness, how important that is. See, because now you're a freedom fighter, you must keep yourself away from the things of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life of the world. You no longer entangle yourselves in these foolish things. Has everybody got it? You don't entangle your... Why? Because you're in a war. And if when you're in a war and you're battling, if there's an open door, you get wiped out again. then you become a casualty of war. And you know, the thing is because we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit tells us all things to come and tells us the truth. You know before you do, every one of us. You know before you do. But what we do is we quench the voice of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the desire of the flesh. Has everybody got it? Because it's the I want. See, when there's I want, that's flesh. When I comes up, we must crush that and let the Holy Spirit speak. Hello? Praise God. Is everybody okay? So are you a soldier? Yes. We are soldiers of the Most High God, willing to do whatever it takes. Amen? No one engaged in war for entangle themselves with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in the athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the what? Rules. So that means you must stay in rank. You must stay in submission, divine order. In Matthew chapter 10, soldiers rescue those from hell. So everybody got it? From going to hell. That's what a freedom fighter does. He goes and he rescues. And that's what we're being trained up for. You know, some of us are, we've been bound by drugs, alcohol, the things of the world and whatever, and we come into fellowship and start to get set free. But remember, your purpose of being free is to free someone else. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 34, would you speak it with me? Do not think that I came to what? Bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a what?
A sword.
Hello. What do you use a sword for? Grilling? Picking your teeth? No, you use it for battle. You use it for what?
Battle.
Because we're freedom fighters. We have a sword. And too many times we lay the sword down and pick up the world. Ephesians 6. You know, there's a battle going on right now. There's a freedom fighters that are standing up nationwide to take back the USA, to take it out of the hands of the devil and deception, to take it out of the hands of corruption. All over this country right now, there are freedom fighters that are standing up for a last day harvest. I'm going to say that again, for a last day harvest, because it's coming soon. He's coming soon. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Why? What do they do to an individual? Put him in what? Captivity. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let me tell you something. You miss putting on the armor of God that day, you're dangerous. I would not want to go out to war or battle with someone that doesn't put on the full armor of God, because they can't watch my back. They're too busy watching their own. Has everybody got it? And if the word says that we are required to do this and they're not obeying the word, then I know they can't obey God. So I know at any time they can turn on me. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, that one that he left us. He did not come to bring peace, but a what? Sword. Which is the word of God. Now listen, there's seven parts of the full armor of God. We just spoke of six of them. Seven means complete and perfect. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in what? The Spirit. That means tongues. Hello? That's the seventh part of the armor. That's why the Bible says, earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Why? So you can get completely dressed. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Listen, the enemy squeezes in any way he can to prevent us from being complete. He doesn't want us to be complete. Ezekiel 37. Man, after I got saved, I was in the book of Ezekiel. It was fascinating to me. Still is fascinating. Every time my wife would be going, what are you reading? Ezekiel. That or Philippians, those two books I was fascinated with. But man, Ezekiel's a, he was a dude from another planet, man. It's like God did some phenomenal things with Ezekiel. I mean, yeah, he did with some of you, but Ezekiel was long-lasting, man. I mean, some of the stuff that he saw the tabernacle of God. Phenomenal. He saw the cherubim and the living creatures. I mean, God took him into place. Man, this dude was just, whoa. I'm like, man, I'm next. Ezekiel 37. Is everybody there? In verse 9. And the Lord said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet. An exceedingly what? Great army. Who do you think he's speaking of? Us. Remember, the word of God is three-dimensional. Yeah, he's speaking of the Jews that are dead, that are going to come alive, but he's also speaking of us, and he's also speaking of past and future. Present, past, and future. It's three-dimensional. And an exceedingly great army. Ooh, that's us. Go to Ezekiel 36. Why? Because we are what? Freedom fighters. You know, when God speaks to the house of Israel, he also speaks to us. When he speaks to the Jew, he also speaks to us because we're grafted. In verse 22, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do this, do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And in the nation shall know that I am the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. Well, it's amazing when we get baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit that he's hallowed in us. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. See, you and I were gathered from all nations, weren't we? Our forefathers came from all over the world, and we've been gathered here. This is present. But in past, our forefathers came here, then now you and I are here. And every one of us is from a different nation. Amen? And it's going to happen when all the Jews are pulled from all nations, which is happening right now too. That's a part of prophecy. When the Berlin Wall came down, that was fulfillment of prophecy. This scripture is being fulfilled now every single day and being fulfilled. They're coming from all over the world. This ministry has bought many tickets for Jews in Russia and so forth to come go back to Israel. When I am hallowed in you before their eyes. Verse 24, for I'll take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will what? Sprinkle clean water on you. Come on, read it with me. And you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. I will give you a what? A new heart, and I put a new spirit within you, and take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put what? My spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Oh man, he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, isn't he? I'm going to put my laws in your mind. I'm going to put my spirit in you. Come on, that's happening. He's fulfilling what Joel spoke. And in the latter days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And their sons and daughters shall prophesy and have dreams and visions. It's happening. We're in it, man. It's going on. And we're getting ready to go on. In Matthew 11, freedom fighters. In verse 10, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent take it by what? Force. They take it by what? Force. That means you got to fight. Some of y'all waiting on God and he's waiting on you. Oh, Lord, when? He's going, oh, child, when? When are you going to pick up the sword and start battling? When am I going to hear your cry? When are you going to seek my face? When are you going to surrender your life to me? When are you going to let me fix you? Take him by force. That's why we're freedom fighters. Freedom fighters take things by force. They battle. They fight. They bind. They blind. They mute. They deaf. They take. They rip individuals from the hands of the evil one. Hold back the presence of evil. Why? Because he who's in us is greater than he who's in the world. We are more than conquerors. Some people still don't get it. We are more than conquerors. That means you got no excuse to lose a battle. The thing is still not willing to give up life. Still fighting for the life. Still entangled in the affairs of the world. Wanting things restored according to your way and not God's way. Look, he wants you completely restored before he restores other things. Amen? Because he knows that we're still dangerous then. See, if we're not sold out to him, he knows that we'll turn on him and turn on whomever. See, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Weak to what? Weak to temptation. Isaiah 61. Too many people are too easily offended. Offense is a fruit of pride. I'm going to say that again. Offense is a fruit of pride. What's offense? Isaiah 61. Would you read this with me? We are going to decree this. Is everybody there? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Now, does a person have to be willing? Yes. Man, you can open the door and a person can stay in there forever and die. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That's a freedom fighter. Does everybody got it? That's a freedom fighter. 1 Corinthians 4. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's why we carry the Spirit of the Lord. You and I are backed by the anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together, please. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful, disciplined, consistent. See, you cannot maintain freedom without being disciplined and consistent. Does everybody got it? It is impossible. Why? Because the Bible says, submit to God and resist the devil. If you are not disciplined and consistent, you cannot submit. You'll submit when you feel like it. You'll submit when things are going bad. Then it's already too late. Then you got to battle, don't you? It's like getting put in a pit, then you got to dig your way out. And it's not fun digging your way out, is it? Especially when you backslide. It's not fun having to dig back out again. But you got to do it, no matter what, or you'll stay there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Freedom fighters! Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. Everybody there? Let's speak it. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, imputing their trespasses, not imputing their trespasses, to them, and has committed to us the word of what? Reconciliation. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, and he is pleading through us now to the world. He's saying, I know you are bound, I know that you're taken captive, but I'm asking that you lay it down and come to me and trust me. Hello. Is everybody okay? Verse 19 again. No, I mean 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Glorious. In Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. In verse 9. What does it say? Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for what? War. War. You know, every day you and I get up, we should always prepare for war. What's the battle today? Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say what? I am strong. Assemble and come all you nations and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. This is what's going on right now. A huge harvest is about to come. Come, go down, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. If you're out there and you're in the valley of decision, I encourage you, turn to the Lord. Don't die in the valley of decision. Make the decision now. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will grow dark. The stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. So don't be deceived. Jesus will come from Jerusalem, no matter who thinks owns it. My Father owns it. And the world will all see. The heavens and the earth will shake, and the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Then you shall know I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy. No alien shall ever pass through her again. In the book of Revelation, chapter 17. Is everybody okay? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Freedom fighters have the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling individuals to God. Hello? I'm going to say that again. Reconciling individuals to God. Once they're reconciled to God, then everything else falls into place. Revelation 17 and verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and talked with me and saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Remember, that's the works of the flesh. They are drunk. They are drunk with what? This is some spiritual delusion and deception. It is a spiritual drink. Why? Because what you sow is what you reap. What you speak is what you eat. The world is drunk with deception. They stagger. They don't even realize the reality of what is real. They don't even know what real time is. They tell time by their watch and by the clock. They have no idea that time is running out for them on this earth. In verse 3, So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. Those are all the things of the world, aren't they? Having her in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. And the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to the perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life. If your name is not written in the book of life, you will go to hell. From the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are the 7 mountains of which the woman sits. There are also 7 kings. 5 have fallen. 1 is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. And I'm not going to get into all of that right now. I want you to understand that the harlot is the spiritual. It is the spiritual deception, delusion. And people are drinking of its fornication globally. It has outposts all over the world. That's why when you go by a bar, it says food and demons, right? Food and spirits. They go and they drink in delusion. People do seances, open themselves up to demons, and they're drinking in delusions. They believe all of these foolish things. They seek mediums. They seek sorcerers. They read tarot cards. They read their horoscopes every day. All of this is drinking delusion. It's drinking of the harlot, watching things that are profane. All of this is drinking in. Why? Because what is it doing? It's promoting the desire to feed the flesh, waiting for someone that's been free to come around and tell them. Revelation 19, verse 11. And now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, hello, who are those? Freedom fighters, clothed with fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads a winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3. Freedom fighters. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is what? Lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. In other words, whoever abides in him does not continue with fellowship of darkness, does not love the world and the things of it. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God doesn't sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In other words, he cannot, now listen, he cannot live that life again unless he is willing to. Because God will never force you to. He cannot live that life again unless that person is willing to. And what does the enemy try to do? Get you to what? Will. His way. Is everybody okay? In chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. It's pretty amazing. In the scripture it says, we know that who was ever born of God does not sin. Who is ever born of God does not sin. Who's ever born of God does not sin. Well, we know that we sin every day, don't we? In other words, in this scripture he's saying that sin does not take you over. When it says, who's ever born of God, means that you are in that born-again state of being. That means you're living in the second chamber. Is everybody okay? You're in that born-again state of being. You're living in the second chamber or the tabernacle. You're not living in the outer court. You're living in the holy place. You're in fellowship with the Spirit of God. You're filled with the Spirit of God, that born-again place where you have dominion. See, in the outer court, you're always repenting. Why? Because you're not walking in the Spirit. In the second court, which is the holy place, you're walking in the Spirit. And then you have access to the most holy place of the glory of God. Is everybody okay? We know that whoever is born of God, in other words, is walking in a state of born again, state of being, does not sin. You won't sin. In other words, you're not going to be tempted. You might make a mistake, but you repent quickly because you're sensitive to it. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me saying that. Sorry. Has everybody got it? You will say no to temptation. Temptation will not. Look, at he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. No evil shall touch you. So what does he do? He sways you out of the second chamber into the first one because he knows that you read his mail there. He sends you a letter. You open it. Oh, I got a letter from the devil. I'll just write him back. Well, you just fell. But he who has been born of God was what? Come on. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who is born of God does what? Keeps himself. And the wicked one, what? Does not touch him. Hello. So what's the enemy trying to do? Get you out of the walk and out of the what? Born again state of being. He wants to get you back into the first chamber of the tabernacle. Does everybody get this? This is where freedom fighters will not come out of the second chamber. You may touch it and go, ooh, nasty. Can't touch that. Then you can say, can't touch me. Hello? Verse 19. We know that we are of God and the whole world. Everyone say, whole world.
Whole world.
Lies under the sway of who? The wicked one. Hello, man. Why do you think God's raised up freedom fighters? Because the whole world is blinded. Ignorant and stupid are the things of God. Blinded by deception. Remember what I shared before? If you're in a stupid state of being, you need to get hit by a truck. Ignorance, there's a chance. Some of us had to get hit by a truck, man. You know, we had to hit rock bottom and get run over. Hello. Because we've been stupid. And we don't want to fall into that stupid place again. Amen? Nor that ignorant place again. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols which prevent you from going in the first chamber, the outer court. Listen, as a freedom fighter, I'm going to share a couple things. We are to declare truth. That's the first thing. The second thing is we are to expose deception. First thing, declare truth. Second thing, expose deception. The third thing, we are decree reality. What is real? Making the unseen seen. The fourth thing is we are to release the prisoners. And as a freedom fighter, the fifth thing we're to do is express the love of Christ. Sometimes love doesn't free a person from the depths of deception. You have to take it by force. Then you express. You're not going to go into somewhere in a place where somebody's all messed up and go, oh, Jesus loves you. Come on, follow me. They're all, and you go, come out, boom, get out. You tell them what's up. You decree the truth. Break them out of prison. Then you tell them God loves them. Because they can't receive God's love in that condition anyways. Is everybody okay? 1 Peter chapter 2. I got a lot more and we're going to close here though. Freedom fighters. You know, people don't like when They do not like it. They get easily offended when they realize they have a demon. Instead of saying, praise God, I got it. Set me free. Well, it ain't me. And they get, and then the demon manifests. Then you just, why don't you go look in the mirror for a minute? Man, I used to do that when I was unsaved and scared the bejeebies out of me. I look in the mirror and go, oh my God, who's in that dude? I didn't know about come out. I thought they were all out there and they were all in here. There was something wrong with me. I look in the mirror and look at my eyes. Whoa. Then all their buddies would show up. Yeah, their whole families. They used to live in my house. Rent free. They take my car and everything, man. They took my wife. They took everything. 1 Peter chapter 2. Then a freedom fighter came across my path. Reconciled me. Put me out on the front line. Did all kinds of crazy stuff for Jesus. Brought me through all kinds of things. And he said, now train them up. Train them up. That's why you're here. Be trained up. To be a freedom fighter. Because there's too many being lost. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also are living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What's a spiritual sacrifice? Praise and worship. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. That word believe means follow. Therefore, to you who believe or follow, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, not willing to follow, but call themselves believers, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of what? Offense. Why? Because offense is a fruit of what? Pride. And when you're prideful, you're in the flesh. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your own good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Freedom fighters, maintain your freedom and fight. Remember, there's salvation. Salvation is a part of reconciliation. But when you salvage something, you know what you have to do? Restore it. When you salvage a ship out of the water, when you salvage a car out of the boneyard, you have to restore it. You have to get it running right, and then you got to maintain it. So salvation is the beginning, not the end. Amen? Praise God. Father, we give you all the glory and honor and praise, and we thank you. We thank you for your mercies and grace. And I'm going to speak to everyone listening and watching tonight. If you've been taken captive by deception, I'm telling you that there's a freedom fighter around you. We just ask that you trust God and surrender. You can't do it on your own. You tried and failed. Your strength will fail you every time, but he will never fail you. Get free and become a freedom fighter. Learn so you don't get burned. Go to theeternallibrary.org and learn. There's much more for you. Get into a local fellowship. Cry out to him tonight and accept him and ask to be delivered and reconciled and become a freedom fighter yourself. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord visit you. And may the Lord surround you with his presence and his glory and grant you favor in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.